May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And because of the prejudices and the division, racial prejudice between the Samaritans and the Jews, Jews just didn't go that way. If they were coming back from north, they would go all the way down, around, and then would bypass Samaria. And yet Jesus, at the height of his popularity, things began to go downhill after this, but at the height of his popularity, people were coming to him for baptism instead of John. At the height of his popularity, he goes out of his way with his disciples and goes a way that's not normal to minister to this one woman who nobody else wanted anything to do with. She'd been married 5 times, and she was now living in immorality with a 6th man. Lonely, rejected, a reject society. And when I see that, and I see the cross, and I think about John 3:16, God so loved the world, I'm just reminded, again, I have been the last few weeks, just again this morning, how the fact that Jesus did die for the world, but he lived for the one. He gave his life for the world, but he gave himself to the one person at a time. He went to the cross for the world, but in that story and every other story, he ministered to one person. He went to the cross for the world, but he went out of his way for the one. And that just, the devotional that I wrote today, it just sort of blew me away at just how expansive the heart of God is. That it's big enough to hold the whole world, and yet small enough to pick up one little child and say, unless you become like a little child, you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Big enough to say, so love the world, and yet small enough to go to this one woman. Or in John chapter 8, when one woman's caught in adultery and everybody else wants to stone her to death, Jesus heals her and changes her unashamedly, without any concern of what anybody else might think about what he was doing in light of what the law required. As a matter of fact, he confronted them. And I was just reminded again from that place in John 19 when Jesus cried out, I thirst. Just that place where Jesus declared, echoed the thirsting heart of God for love. To love people, for people to receive his love, to be transformed by his love, and longingly that they would love him back in return. That's what Jesus was saying. And then I thought about in my life, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, about God's goal for you, God's purpose for me. In Romans chapter 8, he says, God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined, that they would be conformed to the image of his son. So he causes all things to work together for good. He didn't cause all things, but he causes it all to work together for good. And the good that he's trying to work is his purposes in our life, which is to be Christ-like. Now, there's no other place where you see Christ-likeness more than at the cross when Jesus didn't say, I hurt. He didn't say, I don't have time for this. He didn't say, I'd rather be somewhere else. And he didn't say, this is really uncomfortable and inconvenient. Instead, in the midst of the most extraordinary inconvenience and suffering, he echoed the true nature of Christ-likeness, the heart of God, I thirst for others. Now, you need to understand that God's so extraordinary that when the word foreknowledge means to love beforehand, and so when Jesus cried out, I thirst, it was your face he had in mind. I mean, he held the whole world, but he was thirsting for just the one. And therefore, for me to be Christ-like, to be most Christ-like, isn't just to say, oh, I love everybody. That's the nice Christian thing to say. But do I love the one sacrificially who's in front of me? Do I give myself to the one person at a time? And if God causes all things to work together for good, therefore, sovereign God, all the persons in your life, they're kind of in the sphere of your life regularly, or even the ones you just bump into occasionally as you're going through the drive-through or whatever, they're all part of God's purpose and plan in your life. They're the ones that God's placed before you. And they're all there to teach you how to love. Because that's what Christ-likeness is about. Did you know that? The Lord said that to me this morning, and used somebody else to help get this point across to me, but over the last few weeks, but he said, you know why you're the pastor for this church? You know why you're the bishop of this diocese? You know why you're an archbishop of the archdiocese? You know why all these things? You know why you're there? To learn how to love. That's why you're there. I thought, wow. I remember my boys over the years, because I do one thing at a time well in the natural. And they would say to me, Dad, said, like, that person's talking to you and you weren't even paying any attention. You were just looking, you were out there somewhere. And I remember thinking, when I'd hear that, I'd go, God, that hurts my feelings because that's not my intention. But I had to really come to grips with that and go, I may not mean it, but what does that say to them? Because the Lord said to me this morning, I wrote it down in my Bible. I write everything in this Bible. If you notice me knocking door to door selling insurance someday, it's like, hey, your bishop must have lost his Bible. Because everything he knows is written in his Bible. I wrote these things, I said to you earlier, Jesus died for the world, but he lived for the one. He gave his life for the world, but he gave himself to the one person at a time. He went to the cross for the world, and he went out of his way for the one. And the Lord said, the one standing in front of you is the big show. He or she is there so you can learn to love. I have so many clergy, not here, thank God, but that I deal with all over, who want the big show. I watch that not just in clergy, but in people too. They'll do it with all kinds of gifts. They'll use the gifts to get attention. They want to be important. They want to be recognized as important, all that kind of stuff. But clergy, they want a bigger ministry. They want to feel successful. They want yada, yada, yada. And the whole mega church movement doesn't help. In the CC, if you have a church of 40, that's a mega church in America. But the problem is we've missed the whole point, haven't we? Scripture says in John 15, this is where I've been hanging out, he says, abide in my love. And then just a few lines later, he says, this is my commandment, that you lay your life down for your friends. And what I began to see was that I'm just so abide in his love until I marinate. And the love of Christ then begins to come out of my pores towards others. The one standing in front of me. One person at a time. It doesn't get any bigger than that. That is the big show. That's the greatest anointing you'll ever walk in. I wish I'd have learned that more when I was 30. But I'm glad to learn it, period. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.